Welcome to Mindset for Medical Moms. I'm your host, Courtney Given, fellow medical mom and life coach. I'm here to help you handle everything from doctor's appointments to surgery so you can feel confidence and peace as you navigate the ups and downs of medical motherhood. This podcast will share strategies and real life tools to strengthen your mindset and increase your emotional resilience. I'm so glad you're here. Let's go. Hello, beautiful medical moms. Welcome back to the podcast. This week, we are talking about patience. I think this is one of those things that moms use against themselves all the time. Like, it's one of those things that you're just like, oh, I just need more patience. I'm so impatient when this happens. And I often find that it sounds like a really good thing. It's like, it sounds so noble and like a good thing to keep telling yourself. But when we really break this down, especially if I'm coaching a mom and I'm like, how do you feel when you think the thought, I just need more patience? Most of the time, you don't feel inspired. You feel guilty. Most of the time, you're not feeling more motivated to be more patient. You're feeling sad, embarrassed, frustrated, right? And when you're feeling sad or embarrassed or guilty or frustrated, you're not going to be in a place that gives you more patience. I find that this is just a very clever way to guilt trip yourself. And so today on the podcast, I am sharing my patience trick, the thing that will help you actually increase your patience without it having to be connected to your willpower or feel forced. Because that's the other thing about patience, is that patience is not this, I'm going to force myself to hold myself together so that I can say things in a very controlled way. It's not this meek thing where you have to control yourself and force yourself into being patient. And I think when we are able to look at patience just a little bit differently and understand what patience is and what it's not, you will be able to increase your capacity for patience and understand how to grow patience. Okay, so first, we need to define patience, because if I asked you, what would you define patience as? What would you say? Would you have a definition? Because I didn't. When I was thinking about this episode, I was like, what does patience even mean? Like, I knew I wanted to teach, because my definition prior to this episode, I didn't know what Google said. And I was just like, patience is not feeling all kinds of things while you are very calm and kind, right? Like, and I didn't really have like a very good definition. So of course I went to Google, and patience is defined on Google as the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Now, I like this definition for the most part. I think that what patience is the most is your capacity, which means your capacity is not set in stone. So right now you might have a capacity of, let's say, like 50% of acceptance of most things, or 75%, right? We're just throwing out some random figures. But your capacity can always increase. Your capacity for patience can increase. And I like the idea of capacity, because some days your capacity might not be very large because of, for whatever reason. I know I have snapped at a few nurses and been a little bit frazzled with some doctors when I am sleep deprived in the hospital, or when I have been really frustrated with how they've communicated with me, or when I'm trying to have conversations and I'm not getting my concerns heard, right? Sometimes my capacity is impacted by other things. But at the end of the day, you do have a capacity, and that's the most important thing to remember, is that your capacity is not set in stone. Some people will describe their personality traits like, I'm just an impatient person, as if there's nothing they can do about it. And in fact, it is everything to do with you. You always have the ability to increase your capacity, even if it's just for a few more seconds. And that's what I really think it will come down to when I explain what this trick is. So this definition is the capacity, which I love, to accept or tolerate. Some days it's just about tolerating. Some days it's about acceptance. But I really like the idea of acceptance to be like the main definition, because if we just have the capacity to accept delay or trouble or emotional suffering of some kind, which in my mind means negative emotion. A lot of time we conflate suffering with negative feelings without all the fanfare of getting really upset or really angry. And I think this is the roller coaster I talk about a lot. If you are a sensitive person like I am and you have high emotions, this roller coaster of feeling like the world flips you up and down and twirls you around and you have no control because you're just like hanging on and you're just spinning around and around, that sucks. It feels so terrifying when things go badly because you feel like your emotions go with it and you don't have control over them. That's what this podcast is all about, is to help you get off this emotional roller coaster, because you do have control over how you interpret these ups and downs. And when it comes to the moments where you are having a troublesome day, or there are delays in things that have happened, a medication or a surgery gets delayed or a procedure gets delayed, these are the things where patience comes in handy. And the definition doesn't say patience is loving when your toddler throws a tantrum or throws themselves on the ground in Target. It does not say you have to enjoy being somewhere where there's a large delay, like in an emergency room where you're waiting for over an hour to get in to see a doctor, right? It does not mean you have to be excited when something unexpected happens and you are frustrated. Patience is about acceptance, accepting the delays, accepting the trouble, accepting negative emotions that you feel alongside these things. Acceptance is the opposite of resistance. And resistance often feels a lot like impatience. Because when I am feeling very impatient, my whole body is tense and tight and resisting everything that is happening. Resistance often feels like tension in your body and a lot of arguing in your brain. For example, it could sound like, this shouldn't be happening. This is getting in my way. They shouldn't be acting like this. And all of those thoughts are judgments. You're judging the situation between what's happening and what you don't want to happen. So the reality of the situation is, you know, you're waiting in a waiting room for an hour waiting to see a doctor. And your judgment is, this shouldn't be happening. This is ruining my day. They're unprofessional. Why are they making me wait? They're so rude. Like, all of those are just arguing with reality. And when you judge the situation, you start creating tension and resistance in your body, which is the opposite of acceptance. So when you're not accepting reality, when you're not accepting what's happening, you are being impatient. Because if you want to create more patience, the trick is to be less judgmental. When you tell yourself you need more patience, what you actually need is less judgment of the situation you're in, and oftentimes less judgment of yourself. So you don't need more patience, you need less judgment. This morning, I was taking my daughter, my four-year-old, to preschool. And she wanted to ride her scooter. And so I was like, all right, let's do the scootering. But we have to leave a little bit earlier, even though it's close by. I wanted to make sure we were there in time. and before the gates close and I have to go check her into this office. And so I'm kind of like rushing her and I'm like, all right, go, 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 go. And she puts on shoes and all of a sudden she's freaking out because the shoes have sand in them. And that's a very common occurrence at our house. There's always sand and everything. We're at the beach a lot. But she has a lot of sensory needs. She is very sensitive to the sensations around her feet specifically. And so she wanted to switch shoes. And then I said, okay, switch shoes. So I'm going around gathering other things, getting my other daughter ready so that we could go on this scootering walk. And then I hear her scream again. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this should not be happening. Like, this is so frustrating. And notice, those are thoughts, my friends. That's not facts. My daughter screaming is a circumstance that I am in. And my reaction, my first initial reaction is, this is frustrating. She shouldn't be doing this. This shouldn't be this hard. And what those thoughts create for me is more tension. Not more calm, not more patience, but the exact opposite. I'm getting irritated. I am getting frustrated and impatient. And then I see her and I'm like, okay, what are you doing now? And she's like, I'm putting on different shoes. And then she screams and she's like, they're too tight. And she had them on backwards. So I remind her and I remind myself, I was like, it's okay. This is exactly what she should be doing. This is how she operates. This is what she does. And those are not like comforting thoughts, but it takes me back to reality. It takes me to the present moment. And in the present moment, I needed to be able to accept what was happening. And often I've found that the more I resist, the more I convince myself that this shouldn't be happening, the less willing I am to make things work easier on myself. I get stubborn. And then I'm like, you know what? We're not going to be able to scooter if you can't get your shoes on. Or we're not going to make it in time. We're not going to have enough time to scooter. Or in other cases, sometimes I'll just be like, yeah, I don't want to do this with different situations with my kids, because I'm less willing to be adaptive. I'm less willing to figure out a solution because I'm still caught up in the drama of this shouldn't be happening. And when you are caught up in this shouldn't be happening, they shouldn't be acting like this. This is creating all kinds of things in your body and in your brain, and you're less willing to actually find a solution. So then I got her shoes on the right feet, thought we were good. No, she freaked out because her feet felt weird in the shoes. So then I asked her if she needed socks and she said yes. And this is really where I slowed my brain down. And I said, okay, I was not like a joyful, loving human in this moment. I was just tolerating. in my tolerating capacity, but I slowed down. And in those slow down moments is often where I'm able to find the solution. And I grabbed her two pairs of socks, and one sock had like my older daughter had used a hot glue gun on them to hot glue little squiggly eyes to make sock puppets. And we took the squiggly eyes off afterwards, and some of the socks still had glue on them, and she found the glue sock, and this glue sock was really bothering her, so she's screaming again. And I'm like, then this is another judgment that I made. Everything I do is not working. And there is some accuracy to that in the terms of like not working out to leave, but it was still a judgment about myself, like as if I was doing something wrong. And I just took a breath and I said, all right, she needs different socks. I did not want to give her different socks, you guys. I just wanted her to get over it and move on. But that was not going to happen. And that was not going to help my situation. This is where that stubbornness will come in from, that resistance. Because you're just like, no, I want it to be my way or the highway, kids. Just put the socks on and let's go. And I remember thinking like, gosh, why is she so sensitive? Like, she shouldn't be this. It shouldn't be this hard. And then I stopped and I said, you know what? That's not true. Because if it wasn't this way, I'm not sure if she would be herself. And so I paused again. I wasn't saying all these things out loud, but I was definitely saying them to myself. And so I paused again. I went and grabbed a new sock. I took a breath and I gave it to her. And she was so happy. And she said, "Thank you, Mom." And I was able to scooter with my kids to preschool. And I just remember staring at them while they scootered and feeling so grateful that I had not said those things out loud. And I was working on my capacity to tolerate delay, because I find that patience when we're running late is like a bigger trigger for me. Or when I have a plan, like how things are supposed to go, like we all do, we have this idea of how our morning is supposed to go, or how pickup is supposed to go, or how the beach days are supposed to go, or a vacation is supposed to go, or how a doctor's appointment is supposed to go. Like all of these things, we get these expectations, and when things don't happen, we start judging the situation, and we judge it because we believe something's gone wrong. But nothing has gone wrong. This is just how life is. Things happen. There are delays. There are miscommunications. There are times where waiting rooms are very impacted by lots of people and patients. And so when your child is upset about something, and in this case for me with Ro, I was feeling it in my body, and I started to resist the reality before me. And this is what will happen when we are making those judgments. We start to resist what we're seeing and what we're experiencing, which creates a lot more tension and physical stress in your body. So ask yourself, where is my brain judging the situation? Most often with kids, it's like they shouldn't be acting like this. They should know better. This is not how kids should be. Or maybe something's wrong with me. Why am like I'm doing something wrong apparently if they're acting like this. And from my experience as a mom, that's very far from the truth. Kids act like kids, and kids act like the age they are at. And if they know better, they actually don't. That's another sneaky thought I find with parents in parenting, is like they should know better. And it's like, well, if they did know better, they wouldn't do it truly. So at some point, they do learn not to do stuff. Like as a child, I hit my siblings. I don't hit people anymore. At some point, you do know better as a child. But oftentimes, it's way later than what us as parents are thinking. Like we're thinking our 4-year-old should know better than this. And yet, at 4 years old, they don't have the capacity to know better. They don't have the impulse control. They don't have the cognitive skills to plan ahead for consequences. They just know what they want right now in the moment. And they forego thinking. And so when we're judging a situation with our kids' behavior, and when you are thinking they shouldn't be acting like this, they should know better, I must be doing something wrong. Instead, you redirect yourself. I tried to redirect. I had to redirect myself so often. And one of the things I kept saying to myself was, she's doing this, and what do I want to do? Or they are acting like this. Now what do I want to do? And this is a really important thing, because it's a small, subtle change. They shouldn't be doing this is arguing with what they are actually doing. And if you say they are acting like this, they are doing whatever they're doing, right? Screaming over shoes, throwing themselves in Target. And you can pause and say they are doing this, right? Because it brings you back to reality. It brings you into this present moment. Now what do I want to do? I did not want to scream or yell. I'm so grateful I didn't yell. I wasn't necessarily like the most loving in my tone, but I wasn't yelling and I wasn't loud. I wasn't trying to lecture. I just wanted my kids to go to get on their scooters. And it was a small win for me. And I think when I, in that moment, it's like, now what do I want to do? Because it's me. I'm the only one that I have control over in this situation. And oftentimes, my mood and my reaction sets the tone for my family. And because I can't change my daughter's behavior, I can't change the sensations she's feeling in her body from her tickly toes or the emotions that she's feeling or the frustrations she's feeling. I can only control my reactions and my judgments about her behavior and her feelings. And this is what I do again and again and again. And in the process, you increase your capacity for patience. You increase your tolerance for being able to handle really tough moments, really tough situations. And when doing so, the reason why this is all worth it, my friends, is you take yourself off that roller coaster. You take yourself off the intensity of your nervous system flying into panic and dropping back down and going back up to fear and freaking out and worry and just all the drama of anger and frustration and being upset. And then you go back down, like going up and down, being swung back and forth to extremes is exhausting. And the way you can help yourself is not in these large moments where your nervous system is very activated, but in these small moments where the risks are low and you can practice these redirections of your brain so that you can have more capacity, right? It just takes a few seconds and you just increase your capacity to redirect your brain just for those few moments. And maybe you freak out later after dinner, or maybe something else is where you're very impatient. That's okay. It's not about judging yourself. It's not about being perfect for the whole time you're a parent. It is about just finding those small moments where you can increase your capacity. And slowly you'll realize, like, months will go by and you're like, oh my gosh, I was so patient throughout that entire process. And I'm so freaking proud of myself for not yelling at the receptionist or talking down to the pharmacist or whatever, because I was so impatient. Like, that's not how I want to show up. And that's why it's not going to be perfect. It's going to be a little messy. It's tough work, my friends, being in your body, being connected to your nervous system and pausing and redirecting your mind is a habit that you have to practice in order to increase that capacity. And you might start to raise your voice or feel yourself become more irritated. And then you just pause and repeat this process of grounding yourself in reality and saying out loud what is happening. Like, no, they are throwing a fit, even though I don't want them to be. They are doing this. And now what do I want to do? Maybe it's just ditch the cart in Target and pick up your toddler and leave. I've been there. Like, it's for real hard. But whether you're in a doctor's office that's running behind schedule or someone's forgotten something important and you want to exercise patience in that moment instead of this shouldn't be happening, they're so irresponsible, they're so inconsiderate, you might consider, I don't even like that this is happening, but I'm here and now what do I want to do? Right? You don't have to like the situation to be patient. You just have to have less judgment of if this should or should not be happening. That's almost the number one judgment, is that this shouldn't be happening. And when we consider what should or should not be happening, it doesn't matter about what we believe. It matters what's actually happening in the moment. It doesn't matter how much we believe bad things shouldn't happen. Bad things still happen every day. So in order to increase our patience, you have to be willing to accept what is happening in front of you. You don't have to like it. You don't have to love it. But accepting it and sometimes even tolerating it will allow you to increase that capacity. Patience is not about loving everything that happens to you, but staying present and staying curious and staying connected to yourself so that you can respond to the situation in a way that feels good to you. And so I'm going to leave you with these questions. Where can you use more patience in your life? Pick one area: your job, your marriage, your kids, the doctor's office, traffic, anything, waiting in a Starbucks line, any area where you feel like you could work on more patience, maybe with your in-laws or your own mom, like somewhere in your life. And then ask yourself, what triggers that irritation, that impatience? When you're dealing with this irritation or dealing with the impatience, what triggers it? What specifically about this causes you to feel so impatient. And notice what judgments come up for you. Starbucks is too slow. My mom is too nosy. Blah, 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 blah. Those judgments are really going to teach you so much about what you need in your life. What areas in your life could use more support? And I want you to ask yourself, you could, first of all, definitely write these down. How can I exercise less judgment in this area? So for example, if your mom is being very nosy, whatever that means, right? If you were my coaching client, I would get very specific in what you would consider nosy. So for example, let's just say for the sake is that nosy to me, to you, means she calls you and comes by, like she calls you a lot and asks you personal questions about your marriage, asks you a lot of questions about maybe your child's health future that you don't want to discuss, like you just don't want to think about it. And she comes around a lot unexpected, like just over to your house and you're unsure how much you want that to happen. And you find that you are very impatient with her and maybe you are short with her or treat her in a way that you're not okay with, but you don't know what else to do because you're just like, I need more patience with her, but she's so nosy and I don't know what to do. So we exercise less judgment in this area by looking at the shoulds. What shoulds are you holding on to? She shouldn't be doing this. She should know better. She should be different. I shouldn't have to talk to her about these things, right? All of these shoulds are stopping you from communicating your feelings, setting boundaries, and being more connected with yourself and with your mom. There might need to be boundaries with people in your life, and it might be uncomfortable to say, hey, I don't want you stopping over unannounced. Or even just stating the words, I don't want to talk about this anymore. I'm done talking about the future that I don't have answers for. Those are conversations or boundaries that you want to set that you're not setting, that your needs are not being met because you're not taking care of yourself. So these examples are going to be so helpful for you to see maybe where you can take care of yourself a little bit more and let go of that judgment actually shows you where you can show up for yourself. These are all questions I will be discussing in the Facebook group, so join us there. And as always, you can sign up for a consultation at the link in the show notes, and I will see you all next week. Bye-bye. The episode is over, but there's so much more you can get from our Facebook group. Come to the Mindset for Medical Moms Facebook group community at the link in the show notes and discuss all the things about the podcast. Also, you can get coached for free. Come and ask me questions and connect with fellow medical moms. I hope to see you there. Thank you so much.